Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. I have with me a special guest, Darren Wilson, producer of Finger of God. Darren, this is an amazing work that you've done for the body of Christ. I love it. And we'll talk about it more later, but you actually did this as a skeptic, you know, and so that was really cool, and we'll talk about that more, but it's all on the power of God, power encounters, the supernatural, weird stuff of the Spirit. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." And so, Darren, you had been a Christian your whole life. You grew up in the church. You're a good church boy. You have degrees coming out of your ears. You're a college, university professor, teaching in film, screenwriting, storytelling, all of that. And you had this cynical attitude about the supernatural and even about God being able to download creativity to you. So we want to hear your story as to, for someone that came from that into producing this Way Out DVD, how did that transition take place?
I always believed that God could do whatever he wanted to do. I just didn't think he did much, okay? Because I would read the Bible, and I thought that, I think I even say it in the movie, like, the Bible is just like, it's like a greatest hits. Like, it's what he used to do. But I firmly believe that God did not give people ideas, particularly for stories or movies. That was my job. My job was to use my own creativity to bring glory to him. And so I would never ask him for an idea because I thought that was a stupid thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was at a time in my life where for the first time I literally did not have an idea. I didn't know what to do next.
You're just blocked.
I was totally blocked. And my wife said, "Why don't you ask God for an idea?" And I said, "Well, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that because that's, you know, that's what people do. And then they get up and they sing in church a song that they say God wrote to them, and it's a bad song. And so, it's not how he works. I grew up in an artist family. Artists use their gifts.
Sure.
So, I didn't do it. Finally, I get to the point of desperation. And so, I was going to bed one night, December 2005, and I prayed a very, very non-religious prayer where I said, "God, if you've got an idea, I'll take it." And I laid down to go to sleep.
Doesn't sound like there was a lot of faith in that.
Not a whole lot of faith. No. But 5 minutes later, he downloaded. It was a download. That's the only way I can describe it. I mean, I sat bolt upright in bed. It was like the light bulb came on, and I had this idea to make I thought it was a short film about the wacky stuff I'd been hearing about. My family had been going to Toronto. They've been going to different conferences around the country, really getting into this kind of thing called the renewal, which I didn't understand what it was. But all I knew is that my family was getting rocked, and they were getting changed and transformed, but they were coming back with these wild stories. And I didn't believe a word of it, but, you know, they're good stories. So I got this idea, but I didn't want to do it because it was a documentary. I don't make documentaries. It was a explicitly Christian thing. I don't make explicitly Christian things. It was all the things that I didn't want to do. I didn't have any money, didn't have any contacts. So I ran from it, and I said, I'll do it eventually someday. But so 5 months later, my family cons me into going to this conference because they love conferences. And so they said, "If you go to this one in Toronto, we'll never ask you to go to another one again." And so I said, "Deal. I'll go."
Because you were hoping to get off the hook.
I didn't want to have to deal with my
wife. I'll just do
wife.
This one, and then I'm free at last.
Oh, my wife always would beg me to go. I'm like, I hate conferences. So so I went, and it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was charismania to the extreme. I didn't like it at all. I was very uncomfortable. I believe that God was working. But I did not like the packaging, and I thought that there was a really weird mix of God doing something,
sure,
and then
other stuff
going on. Mm-hmm. But I did my duty, and I was there. I was trying to get as much out of it as I could, and it was the last night, and it was during worship, and this little old guy named Bob Jones, who I had no idea who he was. He was this little cute man. And he gets up on stage and stops worship, which I thought was really rude. And he says, I just want to make an announcement that an angel has just entered the building, and his name is Breakthrough. And he's just come over here from Nigeria, and he's with all of his angel buddies, and they're going to be traveling around North America. And I'm like, what is he talking about? How does he know all this stuff? And I just thought, this is totally nuts. I just want to go home. And so he's like, well, we're just going to let them do whatever they're here to do and just keep worshiping. And so I'm in the back, and I figure, well, I'm going to make the best out of this situation that I can. So at least I'll worship. So I had my eyes closed because I didn't want to see what was going on around me. And about 5 minutes later, as my eyes are closed, something walked past me. You know, you can tell when something walked past you.
Right.
And I just instinctively opened my eyes, and there's nothing there. And I thought that was strange. So I closed them again. And to my left, right where you're sitting, there was a figure, an outline of, it's like a shadow figure outline of a individual.
So a shadowy outline of an individual was standing right there in front of you. And right after the break, we're going to find out what that shadowy creature was and what it said. We'll be right back.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
On the first Sunday of every month, our team hosts an evening called Experience Nights, where we experience and encounter God. He shows up in different ways every single time, and we would like you to join us in Phoenix, Arizona. The first Sunday of every month, if you're in our area, please stop by at the Grace Inn in Ahwatukee at 6:30 p.m. Look at our website for more information at xpmedia.com. And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend, Ben. Welcome back. I'm so excited to have Darren Wilson, producer of Finger of God, with us. And Darren, this is so exciting, and we just want to hear more about this shadowy creature that was standing in front of this skeptic at Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. And after the prophet got up and disturbed and ruffled your feathers, all of a sudden God shock and awes you with this happening. So tell us what happened. This shadowy creature is in front of you. Yeah. Who was it? What was it?
Well, at that point, I didn't exactly know. All I know is that I was seeing something. And I could only see with my eyes closed, which I thought was really weird. But it just stood there looking that way. And all of a sudden, it turned and walked up to me. And it was like right in front of me. And I saw this shape, this outline of an individual. And the only way I can describe it, it was the most intense individual I have ever encountered in my life. I mean, he was burning with intensity, crackling with it. It was just like, I could see his fists were clenched, and I thought, this thing wants to break through a wall. And it dawned on me, I realized who was standing in front of me.
Oh, my gosh.
And I realized that old guy actually knows what he's talking about.
Darren, just a sec. I just want to share this with our viewers because we have a friend, Randy Demain, who has also met this angel and described it in a similar way. And Randy and you have never met each other, I don't think.
No.
In fact, it would be neat if you could meet Randy because he was in our area one time and actually released that angel and asked God to release it to help us. And we literally got breakthrough after that time. And so I just wanted to insert that because I thought it was so cool. I thought, oh my gosh, Randy's seen that angel. You've seen that angel. And we knew Benson Idahosa when he was alive working over in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. He had that angel with him very visibly and the work that it helped him with. So this is really cool.
Yeah, it was wild. All I knew at that moment was that breakthrough was standing in front of me. That's all I knew. And I was just standing there in shock that, you know, what's he going to do to me, you know? And I was standing there staring at this being, and all of a sudden he spoke. And it wasn't audible. It was just, it exploded in my brain. It's all I could hear. And he said, "Are you ready?" And I had no idea what he was talking about.
Right.
But I was raised in the church, and I knew enough to know that if an angel ever asks you a question, you just say yes.
And was this your very first angelic visitation?
Yeah. Yeah. First, and I think only. So. It was, and for me, everything has to be, it's got to be real. If it's not real, I'm not going to try to conjure anything. I'm not going to, like, read into stuff. To me, it's like, it's got to be the real deal before I'm going to sign off on it for myself.
Right.
So, this was real. This was happening in front of me. And he says, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Yes." And he asked me a second time, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Yes." And then I saw the third time, I saw his hands like coming up to me, like come, and I knew that he was grabbing my head. And I couldn't feel anything, but I knew that he was doing it. And he screamed in my face, "Are you ready?" This guy was super intense. And I said, "Yes, ready for what? What are you talking about?" And he just stared at me. He was smoldering. I mean, just so intense. And he just stared at me for a second, and he said, "Make that movie." And he started to drift away. And I remember I thought for a moment, I said, "Wait," because I've never had an experience before.
Right.
And I didn't want it to end. And I said, "Wait." And instantly he was back in front of me. But this time he was not intense. He was the most tender, loving presence I had ever, I've ever felt in my life. Just oozing tenderness. And I could see his hand reaching for mine. And, he said, "What do you want? What do you need? I'll stay with you all night if you need me to." And, I mean, there's 2,000 people at this place, and they all want to meet, they all want their own breakthrough.
Right.
But here's this angel who is just saying, "Whatever you need." And I didn't need anything. I felt like an idiot. I just didn't want the experience.
You didn't know
to end.
What you needed.
I didn't know what I needed, right. And so I stood there, and I said, "Well..." And I don't need anything. I just think this is really cool. I actually said that to him. And so he stands there, and he's not moving. And I realize he's waiting for me to release him. So I said, "Okay, well, you can go now." And he drifted off. Now, I came out of this white as a ghost. My family took one look at me and said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I got to go be by myself for a minute."
Wow.
So I went up to the balcony, and there's nobody up there. And I went to a corner, and I sat down, and I said, "God, what are you doing?" And he gave me a glimpse. It was just this real simple picture, and it was of a father and a son playing catch with a baseball on a hill. And my greatest memory as a child is playing catch with my dad.
Wow.
And he said, "Do you want to play catch?" And I lost it. He completely enveloped me in the father's heart. And I, for the first time in my life, didn't know in my head, I knew in my heart exactly how he felt about me. And I was a puddle. I was a mess. And I don't cry, but I was a complete wreck. And I'm in the middle of this, and I hear him say so clearly, he says, "Stand up." So I stand up. I'm just slobbering. And he says, "Walk to the edge of the balcony." So I walk to the edge of the balcony, and he says, "Now look." And I looked over the balcony, and I saw all this insanity. I saw people who were just overcome by the Holy Spirit, who were just doing really weird things, who 30 minutes ago I was judging them mercilessly and saying, "This isn't of God." And it was like the God put father glasses on me or something. And I just saw hurt, and I saw pain, and I saw fear, and I saw heartache, and I saw all these things. And God said, he spoke so clearly to me, he said, will you make it for them? Will you make it for my people to show them how much I love them?
That's so beautiful.
And at that point, I didn't know what he wanted me to do. I thought he wanted me to make a short movie about weird stuff. So I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do at this point. You've got me. I'll do it. And away we went.
It's so beautiful because, like, the transition that took place is so clear, because you were a skeptic, mm-hmm. you were cynical, you did not even have any motivation to be around stuff like that, mm-hmm. and then God chooses you. He chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, but he chooses you to make something sharing his heart for a people that you even despised. Yeah. But everything in you changed, and yeah. that was that work of that breakthrough angel he sent to you as well. That's what gave you your breakthrough yeah. into a whole new dimension in God, the revelation of his love, understanding his love. And that's probably when your true destiny calling started getting fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Everything else was preparation up to that point. Mm-hmm. But now you're in it, and God is using you powerfully as one who carries a breaker for others. And we'll talk about that more maybe at another time, but I know God's raised you up for such a time as this, because he is raising up entertainment media and different aspects of media so that we can get his heart to the nations. And I know that this company that he's raising up is a company of humble servants, dependent on him, not worried about their reputation, their finances, their name, their fame, nothing like that, but just laid down lovers for God. And that's what he made you, almost like in one encounter. He brought you into this place of full surrender. And you shared earlier that you didn't even have, like, you always knew how to put something together properly, but in this, You'd got all this footage. You went around the world getting all the footage, and we're weeping before God saying, God, I don't know how to put it all together, because he put it together for you. Now, we're going to show you a clip of this footage from Finger of God. And if you haven't watched the whole film yet, I would just highly recommend that you do. It's amazing what God has done with a surrendered person who just said yes. Finger of God. Here we are.
This is Francis. Francis was dead once, but as you can see here, he's now very much alive. Before I'd even reached Mozambique, I met Francis here, who came to see me at the airport in Johannesburg. Iris Ministries, which is where I was heading, has seen nearly 100 people raised from the dead in the last 7 years. Francis is one of them. Here is his story.
We were at the hall at the 23rd of September 2003. I was the one who was responsible to welcome the guests. As I was just outside speaking to the guests, just welcoming them, then I decided to lock up the gate because it was almost about dark. As I was about to lock the gate, four men came to me, approaching me. Then I thought that those people want to get into the hall to have fellowship with us. Then immediately as I was looking at them, then they grabbed me, they started beating me. As they were starting beating me, then I asked them, what is happening? Then they said, no, we want to kill you today. That's your last day. And then I tried to fight back. Then all my attempts failed because there were four men. And then after that, after they've assaulted me and beating me, then I didn't know later what happened.
Somebody finds an old car and they get the body to the hospital. And Surpresa goes with them. They don't know what to do. They get to the hospital. They killed him about 11 o'clock. At about 12:15, Surpresa is praying. The whole entire conference is praying. They don't know what else to do. The whole place is praying. 12:15 at night at the hospital. Franzi starts to breathe and he comes back to life.
Now, I originally thought that was the end of the story, but it's not. In fact, it's not even the best part of the story.
Hallelujah. But he's just in a complete mess. By now his eyes are swollen shut, his mouth is swollen shut. He can't talk. He's just in a total physical mess. Looks like it's going to take him just ages and ages to recover. But he's alive. There's a whole gang of these guys. And the police later in the morning finally finds one of them. And they're so proud of themselves, they call the church, come on down here, press charges, sign papers, we'll get this guy in jail right now. But last night, when the frenzy came back to life, just before they put him out for the night, he managed to croak out between his swollen lips, he managed to croak out, forgive them. It's the only thing he could say. It's the only thing he did say is just forgive them. And that got back to the church. As soon as they forgave this guy, told the police absolutely no, the phone call came from the hospital that Franzi was totally and completely healed. Not a scratch on him, not a bruise on him. He could see and talk perfectly normally. There was 100% nothing wrong with him. They said no reason to keep him overnight till Monday. So they told the church to come get your guy right now. And then he goes down to get the guy out of jail who killed him the night before.
Then I went to the police station and asked to the police officer there just that I want to see that man. And then after that, then I asked them just to release that man because I've already forgiven him. The police, the officers firstly denied my request because they say, how will you forgive someone who have beaten you to death like this? Then I said to them, no, this guy doesn't know what he did. And then the police then accept my request, then they released him. Then I hugged him and tell him that God loves him. Then I said to him, no, my brother, I will urge you just to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and go back home happy.
Well, he did become a Christian, and then he went to Bible school. And today, he can't stop telling everyone he meets about how God changed the heart of a murderer through one act of forgiveness by a dead guy.
Well, that was exciting watching that clip. And of course, on the DVD, Finger of God, we'll see clips from, oh my gosh, you went to the gypsies, mm-hmm. you went, of course, to China, to Mozambique, to college campuses. I mean, you were just all over the place recording the mighty works of God. So it's just wonderful. And all those things that you used to call weird, you probably call amazing now.
Yeah, that's pretty normal now.
Now, how did this all come together?
Well, when it was time to put it together, I mean, I never had an overarching agenda with this thing. I didn't ever really know what I was making. I finished filming in Istanbul. It was the last place I filmed on the street. And I remember I was on the bus on the way back to the hotel, and I started to almost hyperventilate. I was having a nervous breakdown because I had just invested a year and a half of my life, and I had 100 hours of footage, and I'm like, I have no story. There's nothing. I don't know what to do. I went home, and I took my sabbatical from my university to put the movie together. And I remember the first day I sat down. I made the movie in my living room. And I sat down, and I said, I don't know what to do. But I remember I was prayed over in Switzerland. And the person who prayed over me had a word for me. And she said, the Lord wants you to know that when it comes time to edit, He will feed you intravenously. He wants to take you into His womb, she said, and feed you intravenously. So I held on to that one, and I said, God, you promised.
So if any time you needed an intravenous, it was that.
I needed an injection of the Holy Spirit at that point. And so I said, you promised, give me, I can't do anything. I don't know what to do. And so I sat there, and I prayed for about a half an hour, prayer of desperation, and I got this picture, and it was just start with your aunt and uncle. And I got kind of the vision of kind of this weird, funny opening. Like, mm-hmm. And I just heard him say, like, make him laugh.
Right.
And so I said, okay. And so I went and I spent the day putting about two minutes of footage together. And I'm like, well, that's a good start. But I didn't know what I was going to do tomorrow. And so I just put it down. And every single day I would do that. And I would never know what I was going to do the next day. So if you go back and watch the movie, you'll notice it's basically just a bunch of 2 to 3 to 4 minute sections. And the reason for that is because that's all I would get on any given day. Wow. And so I'd put it together, and I would hope that it worked. But, you know, I remember I finished it, and I showed it to people. I was getting ready to show it to people, and I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna, who's gonna watch this movie? It's like the weirdest movie ever made. And but I remember the first time I showed it was a group of 30 people, and I was more frightened to show it to those 30 people than I was to get married on my wedding day. But when it was finished, God showed up, and people were wrecks all around the room. And one girl, like, manifested a religious spirit, and I was just like, what is going on? And that's when I knew that I was on to something.
Wow, Darren, this is amazing. And I know that you've sold going on 60,000 copies by the time this program airs, and you haven't advertised for it or anything. And what God was showing you, I think, was to be completely dependent on Him, not leaning to your own understanding, but walking with God, just like Enoch did. He walked with God. Mm-hmm. And that's what you've been modeling for us. And, you know, all things are possible in Jesus. And I think that many of you are going to be doing things that you never even dreamt of, but God has appointed for you. And all you have to do is take His hand, obey Him, say yes, and walk with Him. We'll be right back.